Okay, take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 1. And, you know, last couple of weeks we looked at different attributes of God. We looked at God as our comfort. We looked at God as a loving God. We looked at another one. I can't remember what it was, but anyway, today we're going to look at God's strength is our strength. So, okay, so chapter 1 of Isaiah and verse 24, it says, "Therefore, saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, ah, I will ease me of mine adversaries and avenge me of mine enemies." So, the first word, Lord, is the word Adonai. It means a Lord, or a master of his people, one with authority. So that gives you an idea of what that is. The second Lord, the Lord of hosts, and it's in capitals, and that means that it's the word Jehovah. And that means, well, in vines. Vines is, gives you different words and gives you definitions and stuff. So anyway, it says, Vine says, God chose this as his personal name by which he related specifically to his chosen or covenant people. God was the creator, Elohim, and then in relationship to his creation, he's Jehovah. That's how we always explained it simply. So it says here that Jehovah, he's Jehovah, the Lord of hosts. And that means, and you see that phrase many times in the Old Testament. I don't know if it's in the New Testament, I forget. But I did a study on it once. But Lord of hosts refers to several things. Hosts can refer to an army, you know, like the host of Midian or the host of the Philistines. It can mean a group of people like the host of Israel, meaning all the people. Or the host of, you know, some other people. Or it can refer to the stars in the heavens, like the host of heaven, meaning all the stars and the planets and the universe. Or it can refer to spirits, like either devil spirits or angels or whatever, and you have to read the context. So when it says the Lord of hosts, that means Jehovah, God, is over all of them. He's In sense of strength and might, he's over all those. It's a blanket statement. It covers everything. Armies, peoples, devil spirits, the universe, everything. He's Lord over all. The Lord of hosts. The magnitude of that, if you think about it, is almost incomprehensible. I mean, we don't even know, really. You hear scientists, astronomers throw out numbers about the number of stars. But when you think about the numbers that they throw out, they're kind of ridiculous. We live in a solar system. They keep changing it, but we have how many planets? I can't remember. 8 now? Wow. We used to have 9. We used to have 1. We used to have 9, but 1 got demoted. You know, I bet the aliens on Pluto feel bad. I don't know. Anyway, but then in our galaxy, there are many solar systems, and there are billions of stars, maybe trillions, I don't know. And then there are trillions of galaxies. How do you comprehend trillions of galaxies with trillions of stars? It's just incomprehensible, really. So, but God is over all of it. God invented it. God designed it. God brought it into being, which is ridiculous also. Then it says he is the mighty one. And that's the Hebrew word abir. It means infinitely powerful protector. Think about that. An infinitely powerful protector. So he's the mighty one. So that gives you an idea of the strength of God. In other words, he has it all. He has it all. It's just a little bit of what we can understand because It's really beyond our understanding and comprehension, but God tries to put it in terms that we could get an idea, have an inkling of how great and how powerful he is. Let's go to Genesis, chapter 17. Verse 1, we're going to begin. It says in verse 1, and when Abram, later be called Abraham, right? Abram, was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And the word Almighty here is El Shaddai. Almighty. What does Almighty mean? All powerful? Yeah, nothing beyond his power. He's Almighty, God Almighty. So God declares to Abraham who he is. I am God Almighty. You know, in different times and different places, God declares himself to be things, right? And different aspects. Sometimes he'll just say, I am your God. Well, that's kind of cool too, isn't it? He's your God, personally. Here he says, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And the word perfect doesn't mean, you know, in the sense of never make a mistake, never do anything wrong, but it means upright. It means to walk upright, to do your best, to do God's will. Do what God would have you to do. And he says, and I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face and God talked with him, saying, now, before we go any further, he says, I'll make a covenant with thee and multiply thee exceedingly. And it just told us that Abram was 99 years old, 99, and he didn't have any kids yet. So for God to multiply him exceedingly is a pretty big order. Goes on to say, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Nations here doesn't mean what we think of today. Today we think of nation states, you know, this country and that country and so on and so forth. But nations here meant peoples, like a tribe or a clan. Israel was a nation, but it was a nation that came from Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob, and then the 12 patriarchs, right? So it was an extended family. The Amalekites were an extended family of, I forget the guy's name that started it, but Amalekite. Amalek, that's right, Amalek. And then there were the Hittites. I guess Hittite was a name of one of the guys, and, you know, so on and so forth. You know, they were named for the whoever was recognized as the patriarch or the starter of that branch or that tribe. And so they would name. So Abraham would be the father of many nations. There would be many nations, but he would be the origin of those many nations, which included the nation of Israel, right? And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So God makes some great promises to Abram, of which we benefit today, don't we? We still benefit from those promises today because many of those promises are passed down to us. Let's go back to Isaiah. So, but one thing that you have to realize is that God makes these promises because why? He has the power and authority to bring them to pass. You know, sometimes people make promises, We're going back to Isaiah chapter 40, by the way. Sometimes people make promises that they can't bring to pass. Politicians do this all the time. You know, they promise, I'm going to make your life better, and I'm going to make sure that you have this and you have that. They can't do that. You know, they just can't. You know, can you guarantee that somebody's going to be happy? You really, you know, maybe God could, but we can't. We can provide maybe things that we think would make them happy or, you know, love them or whatever, but that doesn't mean that they're going to be happy, does it? God can promise stuff, but God has the power and authority and ability to bring it to pass. I was always, my kids hated me sometimes because they would say, could we do this, that, or we do that? And I didn't want to lie to them, so I'd say, maybe, or we'll see. I'll get back to me at a later date, which, you know, saved me a lot of embarrassment because sometimes you just can't do things. You know, things come up and you can't do stuff. So, okay, Isaiah 40 and verse 25, it says, to whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? The Holy One is God, right? Lift up your eyes. He's talking to Isaiah. Lift up your eyes and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by the number. There's the word host, and that's referring to the stars. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one faileth. Wow. You know, he calls all the stars by names. How did he figure out trillions upon trillions of names and never run out? That's an amazing thing in and of itself. What a vocabulary. But he says, look, just look at all I've made. It says that in Romans, right? You look at the creation. How could you doubt that there's a creator? Greatness of his might, strong in power. That's what he says. Lift up your eyes on high and behold who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names by the greatness of his might, the greatness of his power. For he that is strong in power, not one faileth. You know, whatever he put into place and whatever he did and said, it doesn't fail. Never fails. What a cool God. Let's go to Psalm 93. See, as we realize and think about the power of God, you know, then when you call upon him to bring his promises to pass, you can do so with confidence. You realize that the power that God has is the power that we have. You know, we do it according to his word, of course. We do it according to what he tells us. But his power becomes our power as we do his word. Psalm 93. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength. You know, there's a place in the word where it talks about us being clothed, right? Clothed with Holy Spirit. Wherewith he hath girded himself, the world also is established that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old, thou art from everlasting. And we know that God is, you know, we can't comprehend. He always was, is, and always will be. I don't know how that works or what that means really, but that's what it says. The floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Did you ever see a picture we watched a movie about the tidal wave in Indonesia a couple of weeks ago. You know, and that thing just was unbelievable. You know, or they showed a wave in the Antarctic that something happened, piece of ice fell off off the edge of whatever it is, and it created this 60-foot wave or something that hit the ship. You know, I mean, water is unbelievably powerful. And it says here, God is mightier than the waves. That just gives you an inkling. Because, you know, water is one of the most destructive things on earth when it's unleashed, right? He says, the Lord is on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Did you ever go to Niagara Falls? You know, and you see that. You can go down. The falls are just unbelievable, especially the Canadian side, right? But then you can go down the river a little bit, and they have the rapids, and you can go down and be right on the level with the river. And that's awesome. I mean, it's just like, wow, how powerful is that water? And it, you know, cut right through that gorge. It's just unbelievable. So waters, but it says here, God is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. How sure are God's testimonies?
Very sure.
Very sure, absolute. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. God is a strong God. He's a mighty God. He's a powerful God. And he uses all his power and ability on behalf of his people. And all his people have to do is listen. Let's go to Isaiah 12. Verse 3. It says, behold. When you see the word behold, what does that mean?
Check this out.
Pay attention. Behold. Behold, God is my salvation. And the word salvation, deliverance, rescue, savior. God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah, and that's Jehovah, I believe, is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Says it twice. You know, God is our strength. He is our strength. You go back and you look at all the Old Testament things, and when Israel relied on God, he would always give them the victory, right? And when they tried to do it on their own, what happened? They'd usually fail miserably. Remember in Numbers, they came to Kadesh Barnea in chapter 13, I believe. And God said, there's the land. And they said, well, we need to send spies in. So they sent 12 guys in, a representative from each tribe, of whom Joshua and Caleb were part. And they went in and they saw the richness of the land and the beauty. And they took some stuff, you know, some of the fruit of the land and brought it back. And it was incredible. And so Caleb and Joshua said, yeah, let's go. And the other 10 said, no, we can't. We're like grasshoppers before these people. They're giants and we'll get slaughtered. So then Moses reproves them. So then the people say, okay, let's go. And he said, well, it's too late. So then they try to go in and they get hammered because they didn't listen to God. They didn't trust God to bring to pass what he said he would bring to pass. Let's go to Isaiah 41. Verse 10. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. So, this God who is the Lord of hosts, the Almighty God, the God who is mightier than the noise of the waters, the waves, the God that made the heavens and the earth, that named all the stars, He says, I am with thee. That's a pretty comforting thing. And he says, I am thy God. So when you think and you get fearful or you get dismayed, this is a great thing to think about. God's always with you, and he's your God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that are incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contendeth with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. I just love that verse, because I think I shared it last week or the week before, but I always just think of God, you know, being like my dad, and he would hold my hand. And when I was with my dad, I always felt safe, no matter where I was. Because he was my dad. And of course, at that time, he was bigger than me. I got to be bigger than him, but. So God's strength is our strength. His power and might are our power and might. So you say, well, how? Well, let's go to Joshua. God tells us. He always tells us how. He tells us what he's going to do and how he's going to do it. And in Joshua chapter 1, he tells Joshua, and we're going to start in verse 6, but, you know, Joshua was with Moses for 40 years. From the time he was a young man, pretty young man, until Moses died. 40 years, and it says he ministered unto Moses. And he saw all the things that Moses did. And he was right there, and he was faithful. And then Moses died, and God said, okay, Joshua, you're taking over. That's a pretty big deal. Big deal. So he says to Joshua in verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. Now, is he talking about physical strength?
No.
No, he's talking about strength in your heart and mind. You know, it never talks about physical strength, although God at times can give you physical strength. He can. There's a place where it says, you know, one of you could turn away 10,000 and so on and so forth. If you read about Samson in the book of Judges, it never gives a description of Samson physically. Never does. Doesn't say, you know, he's like Arnold Schwarzenegger, or he worked out every day at the gym, or he had these incredible muscles. Never says anything like that. It says the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. That's all it says. And he did what God told him to do. And every time he did what God told him to do, he defeated the Philistines. That's what he did. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. So it could affect you physically, but here he's just saying, you know, lock in, be strong, and of a good courage. For unto this people that shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them, which is what we saw in the beginning, back in Genesis, when God made the promise to Abram, right? He said, I will give this land to your progeny, to your children, forever, for an everlasting possession. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. And this is the how of being strong. You do God's word to the best of your ability. You learn that word, and you hold fast to that word to the best of your ability. You know, we sang in the song, Standing on God's Word, or what was it, Standing on the Truth I've Heard, right? Standing on the truth I've heard. You know, we say that, we intend to do that. Sometimes it's not so easy because we have to deal with our senses. We have to deal with sometimes fearful or crisis situations. But that's when we really need to do it the most. We need to stand on the truth that we've heard. So he says, be strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. You know, what a great privilege and honor it is for me to sit here every week and to teach the people that would desire to do this. You know, what a great thrill. It's just a great thrill to want to do that. You know, what a privilege. And it's, you know, we're each precious in God's sight. And we should be precious to each other because we're precious to God. Turn not from it, from the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. What a great promise. That's a promise to Joshua, but if you go to the New Testament, he's made equal and greater promises to us. But it's a key, it's a principle that we stick with. Stick to the word, do your best to do God's word, do his will. And he prospers you. He helps you. He strengthens you. He shows you the way. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. That doesn't mean you don't ever speak it. It means you keep it there in your mind, in your mouth, ready to speak the word when necessary. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And to meditate means to speak it to yourself, to mutter it, or speak it to yourself. I do that a lot. I really did it a lot in recent months. You know, and one of the ones was, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the God of, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, and I mean, that was in my brain continuously. You know, I meditated on that verse because I didn't want to get anxious about things, you know. And sometimes when you have to deal with stuff long term, you can get anxious at times, right? Mm-hmm. You know, who wants us to be anxious? The devil. Mm-hmm. Who wants us to be peaceful? God. So it says, meditate day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be not strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. Why does he say to Joshua, be not afraid? Because maybe he had a little fear about this. Can I do this? Are these people, I've watched these people turn on Moses time and again. Am I going to be able to deal with this? These guys are nutty. God, are you going to be there for me? That was Moses. I'm not Moses. But what did God do? He reassured him more than once. If you go back into Deuteronomy, he told him the same thing by way of Moses. And then he tells him again directly. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Kind of what he told Isaiah, right? What he tells us, he's with us. He's always with us. He's there for us all the time. God's strength is our strength. When we realize the strength and the power of God, why are we afraid? No need. You know, the word of God in your heart is the key. Holding the word there. Let's go to Romans. I'm sure maybe you had the same thoughts before you got into the word and learned the Bible, but I certainly had these thoughts and I thought, why in the Bible were all these great things happening and how come they don't happen today? Yeah, I thought that before I got in the word until somebody showed me and taught me that, you know, God issues his word, and when we believe his word, he brings it to pass. So then you start to see things. You start to see power. You start to see miracles. You start to see God working in your life. And honestly, if you look closely and think about it, you probably see God working in your life a lot. You know, you just got to recognize it. In chapter 1 of Romans, in verse 16, Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," referring to the gospel of God concerning his son, Jesus Christ, as it explains in the first opening verses. "For it is the power of God." The word of God is the power of God unto salvation, deliverance, being rescued, saved, to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Anybody that believes God's word is going to see the power of God. And they're going to see it to the end of being saved or rescued or delivered, whatever they need. That's the power of God. We have the power of God. When we believe the word of God, we have the power of God. Now, as you do that, then God can tell you and he can work in you. You say, okay, do this or do that. And when you do this or do that, then you see what he says come to pass and it makes sense. It may not make sense when you first hear it, but if you know that God's telling you, it'll work out. Let's go to chapter 4. This is concerning Abraham, which we read about and the promises God made to him. It says in verse 17, "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations." You know, God many times puts the future in the past. You know, he promised Abraham that he'd be a father of many nations. Did Abraham ever see that come to pass in his lifetime? No. But God put it in the past, "I have made thee a father of many nations." Because it's already a done deal because God promised it. And Abraham did become a father of many nations. You know, Isaac and Jacob, you know, and then the 12 patriarchs, that was the nation of Israel. But then Ishmael, 12 nations came out of Ishmael. And then out of Keturah came, I think, can't remember, I just read it. Moab, not Moab, somebody, some other, two other nations, you know, and wasn't Moab. Moab came out of Lot. But anyway, so as it is written, "I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were." Okay? He says things that aren't, and he says them as though they already are. Why? Because God is powerful and he can bring it to pass. He has the strength. He has the ability. He has the authority because he's God. And whatever he says is going to be, is going to be. That's pretty great. He quickens the dead. And in the case of Abraham, Abraham was dead in one aspect of life. He was 99. He couldn't have children. And his wife was barren. And God brought him back to life. And they had Isaac. And then Isaac was over 40 years old and his wife was barren and they had Esau and Jacob. He did it twice for that family. And then it says who, speaking of Abraham, against hope, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed believe. He believed according to that which was spoken, which is what? The word of God. The word of God is the power of God when it's believed. And so it came to pass because Abraham believed it. What a cool thing. How simple is that? You know, you read theology and they'll give you all kinds of fancy words and ideas and they won't make any sense and they won't give you the truth because they don't just go back and look at the simplicity of God's word. And being not weak in faith or believing, he considered his own body, the word "not" is not in there, he considered his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, we saw he was 99, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. You know, he considered, he thought about it. Okay, I'm 99, I haven't had kids, my wife's 90, she's barren, but he wasn't weak in believing. He said, that doesn't matter. God made me a promise. God made me a promise. It's going to come to pass. Simple. And it didn't happen the next day, did it? He had to wait 25 years. Amazing. he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in believing, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And you know, that's one of the keys that we learn, that God is able and God is willing. His ability and his willingness are in agreement. When he promises something, he brings it to pass because he can bring it to pass. He has all that power, all that strength, all that might, and all that authority. He's the Lord of hosts. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's over all. The only thing he can't do is lie. That's pretty great. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. So our strength is the strength of God. Our power is the power of God. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And you know, here Lord refers to Jesus Christ, but if you look and understand the New Testament, it says all the promises of God are in him, yea and amen. All the promises of God are in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of God making intercession for us. All power and authority was given to Jesus Christ by God. So it says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That's why we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the methods of the devil, the tactics. Which, you know, he's not all that smart, and he does the same thing over and over and over and over. He tries to scare us, or he tries to cajole us and tempt us with stuff. Really, that's what he does. He either tries to entice us, or he tries to scare us. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It may seem like we're wrestling against flesh and blood. You know, this stupid virus, flesh and blood. But where does it come from?
Devil.
Yeah, it comes from the devil. It's spiritual. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, because you just read all this stuff, put on the whole armor of God, it's a spiritual battle. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand, therefore. The word stand is used twice. Why? Because God wants us to do what?
Stand.
Therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. You know, your loins are your midsection. You know, one of the things you learn playing sports is that your midsection has to be strong. That's where you get your real strength from. You know, everybody works at big arms, big legs, but if your midsection is not strong, you're done. Remember when I played football, we did ridiculous amount of stomach exercises and to build us up in there. Your loins gird about with truth. What's the truth? God's word, right? It's figurative, right? Our mind is to be girded with the truth, wrapped with truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate protects your vital organs, right? Breastplate of righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the gospel of God concerning Jesus Christ. Above all, taking the shield of faith or the shield of believing, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And I get a picture in my mind, you know. And so here I am, and I got this shield, and the devil throws something at me, and I go, boom, got it. He throws another one. I got it. You know, every time he throws a dart at me, I have that shield of believing. And I quench the fiery darts. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, that's our weapon, the Word of God. We hold on to that word. And then it says, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And we just keep praying. And we pray for each other. We pray for situations. We just pray to God and we make specific requests. Just like I said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, and then God brings it to pass. God is our sufficiency and our strength. And let's close in Psalm 37. God's strength is our strength. God's power and might are our power and might, because he is the Lord God of hosts. In Psalm 37, verse 5, it says, commit thy way unto the Lord, unto Jehovah. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. What a great verse. You know, commit yourself to God. Commit yourself. The more committed you are, the more you're going to see. The more blessed you're going to become. The more you're going to see the power of God in your life. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. You know, sometimes it's hard to trust in things, isn't it? You know? I always wonder about those guys that do the bungee jumping. They're trusting in this elastic band, basically. I just don't think I could do that. But, you know, trust in God. The more you read the Word, the more you see the greatness of God, the love of God, the more you see his power and might and his majesty, the more you understand about him, how loving he is, how much he cares for us, how precious we are in his sight, how much he is willing to do for his people, it should be easier and easier to trust him. It just should. You know, just trust. What does he promise? What does he tell you to do? Well, he tells me to do this, and I have to trust him. You know, it's sometimes when you're raising children, you know, and you try to teach them things, sometimes they don't trust you, right? Or they don't, their sense knowledge says, I can't do this. And you know that they can. They just have to work and try it. The greatest is teaching kids how to ride a bike, you know, and they have training wheels. And the training wheels are so that it flops and they're not really doing much and they learn to balance. And then you take the training wheels off and they freak out, because they don't trust that they can balance, but they can, you know? And after you get them going a few times, then you go, oh, man, I created a monster, because now they're going to kill themselves. But, you know, we trust God. You know, we try him out. We do things. We see the promises that he makes, and then we trust him, and we walk out on those promises, and we see him come to pass. And the more we see him come to pass, the more we should trust him. And the devil will try to tell you, oh, that's a mistake. That didn't really happen. That really wasn't God. Right? He tries to talk us out of it. That's why we have to be strong and courageous, holding fast to his word. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He'll bring it to pass. You know, the farmer plants a seed. Who makes that seed grow? Well, God did. He designed it so that it would grow. Does the farmer understand how that seed works? Not really. He just knows that it works. And then he gets the benefit. We just trust God. We do what he says, and we see it come to pass. So God's strength is our strength. God's power and might are his might. And it all starts with putting the word in your brain, holding fast to that word, and walking out on that word. So, Father God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your greatness and power and your might, how you could name the trillions of stars, how you could design it, how it all works so perfectly, how we look at the earth and we see how you designed it and how it's so perfect and beautiful in so many ways, how we never run out of air, we never run out of water, we never run out of sunlight. We just always have the things we need. We thank you, Father, for how you work within us, the will and to do of your good pleasure. And as we listen to you and as we walk out on your word, we see your greatness in our lives. We thank you for this in the great and wonderful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.